If you were to read the entire 6th chapter of Mark, from which we just heard parts, you would likely skim through today's reading and give it very little attention. I don't know if you noticed, but it's actually two short snippets with some stuff cut out in the middle. And the stuff missing includes two of perhaps the most memorable of all the stories in the Bible. One of them is Jesus feeding the 5,000, and the other is Jesus walking on water. But the people who put together the lectionary purposely took them out of today's gospel reading. Now, if you're like me, whenever you notice that one of the readings skips a few verses, the first thing you do is look up what's missing. Because, well, I always wonder, why did the lectionary writers do that? Oh, what are they trying to hide from me? Is there a conspiracy? Or does it just skip some, you know, boring begat verses? Or is it something that might challenge my faith? Well, in today's case, it just seems to turn out that if they had not taken out those two huge miracle stories, well, then likely we would have paid very little attention to what happens immediately before and after them. So this reading then that appears to be a bit boring in relation to its neighboring verses, it kind of forces us to do some sifting and thinking and some listening. We enter this reading with the disciples gathered around Jesus telling him about their day. They had all been busy teaching and ministering to people. Now, by no means would I ever be so bold as to compare my daily work to that of the disciples, but I can relate to some extent and say that after a long day of ministering to people in need, one does feel a little bit tired. So here they are at the end of the day, telling Jesus about all they had seen and done, likely not even realizing until now that they'd skipped lunch and worked through dinner. Their hunger and exhaustion is now slowly setting in. Their stomachs are grumbling and their feet are starting to hurt. And Jesus sees this and says, "Come, let's go hop in this boat. We'll go up the coast a little ways and get away from the crowds for a bit. Bring some of that bread and date marmalade. It'll hold you over until we get to the other side. We'll catch some fish on the way and fry it up when we get there." So off they go in a boat, indeed catching a few fish along the way. The waves are gently rocking the boat. It's warm and quiet evening, and some of them maybe even are starting to nod off, dreaming of that fish dinner that seems to be not so far off now. And just as they round the bend to go into the cove where they're planning to spend this restful evening, well, they see even larger crowds than they left behind, starting to form on the very beach that they were going to stop at. Well, you can only imagine what the disciples thought. Many preachers this morning will preach this text as an example of how we need to take time to rest, a required time to recharge, so that we can go back to our work of ministry with a renewed energy. This is indeed a good message. One of my favorite scripture passages from Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." A command to sometimes just stop and feel God's presence. And it is important to gather here as a community on Sunday mornings and spend time purposefully dwelling in the presence of God. It is important to take personal time in daily prayer and devotion, and sometimes just to sit quietly for a few moments, listening so that God can refresh us. This is true. And also, I think there are other messages to be found in here as well. So I would like us to switch the focus for a moment from Jesus and the disciples to the crowds that are gathering. The text describes them almost as hordes, 5,000 hungry people in one place. I can't quite wrap my head around how big that is. 5,000 people. Indeed, there was something about the person of Jesus who had them flocking to him. Was it just his preaching? Was it his compassion? Was it the way he healed so many, restored them to their lives and communities? These crowds, it's almost as if they couldn't keep away from him, try as they might. They were drawn to Jesus like a paperclip to a magnet. They were powerless to it. He was that incredible, that powerful, that wonderful. And when they flocked, Jesus was filled with compassion, as the text tells us. He didn't send them away because he was tired or worn out, because he needed a break. He took a deep breath, he got out of the boat, and he got back to the work of teaching and healing. All of these crowds this week left me wondering about us. To be sure, we are supposed to emulate Jesus and the disciples, but I think that before we get there, we need to be among the crowd. Do we flock toward Jesus? Do we come to Jesus asking to be healed and restored? Do we receive our healing then and turn around and become healers? Each and every one of us has a need for the healing hands of Christ. Each one of us carries our broken bodies around each day, bodies that suffer from pain, disease, and dis-ease. We have a multitude of illnesses, which are physical, mental, and emotional, and sometimes a combination of all of them. To be not whole is part of being human, and it is equally part of that humanity to search for that which can mend our brokenness. And for that, we must look no farther than Jesus. Our healing, our restoration, our reconciliation, that comes from the one who takes the deep breath and rolls up his sleeves and hands out grace and compassion as if it will never run dry. Because it won't. Today, like every other day, we come before God deeply in need of the healing that comes only from Jesus. And next week, we will do it again. And next week, God will not fail to give it to us once more. So then what do we do with our healed, our restored bodies and souls? We are immediately called to turn to the next person who is gathered, and the next, and the next, and become their healer. We are called to share love and grace and Jesus with a world that is so very broken. We are called to share that with everyone, everywhere, all the time. Friends, it is important for us to be still and know God. It is important for us to stop long enough to receive the healing that Jesus gives. It is also important that it not stop there. For we are healed to become healers, blessed to be a blessing. May our own healing and restoration give us then the courage to go out, even beyond our comfort zones, to seek out all in need of Christ's compassion. May the healing that we receive give us the strength we require to serve all of God's children with the compassion that we learn from Jesus. A compassion that calls us to suffer with and among, in homes and hospitals, on beaches and street corners, in schools, even sports arenas. Wherever there are people who are in need, we are called. May we be so filled with the compassion we learn from Jesus, so gracious in our loving, that they recognize the healing power of Christ working in and through us. Amen.